Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. And today, Linda and I are joined by three guests. I'm really excited. We haven't done a panel like this before, but Jill Marquis with CareNet, Tanya Flores with the Reproductive Loss Network, and Serena Dykeson with She Found His Grace. And we are going to be talking for the next few segments just about some repetitive kinds of issues that are coming up and some things that might be new to us. And really the goal is not that we have expertise with any of these necessarily, but that we want to bring these to you as leaders doing this to talk, to let you know that this is a possibility of you might get a call like this. And hopefully through us all talking that we'll be better equipped to then receive that person instead of being stunned, as you know, sometimes that can happen to me. I can get the deer in the headlights, like, oh, I never heard this one. Now what, you know, and it can kind of throw me a little bit, you know, as I have to process what I'm hearing and what's happening. So I kind of was hoping that we could kind of take care of some of that. And so get you kind of thinking as well. And so our first topic today is something that I'm sure that probably all of us have had, if we keep in touch with our women afterwards, to learn that they still remain pro-choice after healing. And I know it's not my goal as a leader taking the women through to like make them not be pro-choice, you know, to help them not be, to be totally pro-life and to be against abortion. That's really not my goal. My goal is to disciple them and let the Lord do that work. But at the same time, there is that question in my own mind that I'll think, well, did we miss something, you know, sometimes. And there's an activity that I do that I'll talk about in a little bit that I think helps women kind of really break it out into, you know, what abortion is and what God's heart is. And it just gives a really good visual of that. So I just kind of want to open it up and know, have you ever encountered somebody that you've kind of walked with through healing and then found out later that while they're still, you know, for abortion, you know, to some degree, or they're helping someone have abortion, or, you know, what is that? And how did you manage that? Or what do you do in your groups? Kind of a full rounding here.
When you ask that question, you know, it's a reminder of me as a helper that what is my goal in helping women? And I think my goal is to tell them the truth and love about all the things that we work through. But it's ultimately their journey of healing with God. And it comes in, they're being chiseled right into his masterpiece. And so we wish that we could have each person that we help be completely healed, ready to go, packaged and out the door, so to speak. But that's not how it works, even in our own lives. When I look at how my journey faith is, I'm always learning something as I look more and more to who I am in Christ. And so I'm encouraged to know that it's not my responsibility for her, other than I'm just a helper and I come alongside and be that godly friend. And so if she's still thinking old ways, habits, protective mechanisms, it just shows that there's always opportunity for more growth and healing. And I think that's where we keep that invitation open for her to come back and work through those feelings and those thoughts. Yeah, that's just kind of my short answer, how I feel.
You said, what is my goal as a helper? And I think that is like kind of hits the nail on the head. What for CareNet, when Linda and I did our breakout session last fall, that was one of the things that we talked about. What is your goal? Thinking about it ahead of time. What do you want them to get out of the group? Or what is it kind of the thing you want to be pointing them to? And is it our goal to make them pro-life in their belief? Is that really the high-end goal? No. I mean, when I even came into pregnancy center work, I always believed abortion was wrong by that point, but I could not get an argument for the rape, incest, and health issues. Like I didn't really know why that was wrong. You know what I mean? I didn't, because I never investigated, I never talked to anybody, I never heard anybody talk about it. But once you get into the pro-life work, of course, that's what we center our conversations around generally. Why pro-life? Why the pro-life position and no abortion is the way we believe in this movement. And once I learned those arguments, it was cemented and sealed. I just didn't know the depth of why, if that makes sense. So anyway, I just love to hear the rest of you talk on this.
Yeah, I think something that I've recognized and realized is asking really good perspective questions. Just asking really good questions because to help me understand where she's coming from and to help her kind of unpack a little bit more of where she's coming from. And I think sometimes I see that either they're still not there yet, because, if I had an abortion, who am I to tell someone they can't have an abortion, right? And so that's a pretty common one. And so just asking really good questions to help her get to that place of like, oh, well, it kind of burned me, so why do I want someone else to be burned? And so just asking those questions, and that's something that I've found really effective as a leader.
What would be some of those questions, Serena?
Oh goodness, you would ask me on the spot here.
Well, if
It
I have
just
another one.
depends on the conversation of just where she's landing, and just kind of looking at what she's saying and looking at that as a leader of just trying to understand, okay, I am recognizing that she's really kind of justifying because she's had an abortion. And so as a leader, if we can look at that, and then we can start pulling some other questions to help her get those aha moments. But it's really just when she's, you can recognize as a leader when it's coming from a place of like, I still have this guilt. So who am I to tell other people not to have an abortion? But that doesn't answer the question. What
Well,
question?
but
Yeah,
isn't that
but.
a process? Because after we go through healing, we're not done, right? We still have other layers to go through, and that is really not, I don't know, it wasn't for me anyway. It just wasn't like, I don't care if I was pro-life or pro-choice after I got done with my abortion. That was not even on my radar. But had somebody come to me after after I had my abortion healing, had somebody come to me after my first abortion healing and said they wanted abortion, I would not have known how to argue against some of their reasonings and their choices, and maybe in the end I might have acquiesced to their pressure and their wanting to do it. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't strong enough. Trisha, you or Tanya, you talked about that growth and maturity. There's a strength of understanding that, or that comes with understanding.
Right. And I'm thinking about when we, it depends on the woman, of course. Her story is unique, and how long is the duration of having that abortion experience to her healing. But you think about her influences around her in her life, and is her family major pro-life?
That's
And
great.
has she been hurt by them, and she doesn't want to be associated maybe with that label? So it's more of labels right there in her mind. Or maybe they're her friend groups are all pro-choice, and she's afraid if she becomes pro-life, they'll judge her in that way. So there's so much unraveling. And Serena, made a good point of asking a lot of good questions about how is your support group, how is your family seeing the pro-life or pro-choice world, how is your friends and all of that, because those are influences. And you know, we kind of send her on her way a little bit with wobbly legs in those first few weeks, right? As is she sharing she's going through after abortion care, you know, who is she telling about these things? So there's so much to it, and it does take time. She may be pro-life in her heart, but not know how to, like you said, Mindy, express it and not want to be labeled something societal, cultural, where she gets hurt again. So she might just kind of be, I'm kind of in the, I don't know, I'm in the middle here too.
You know, I think back to going to the Women's March, and we know that at the Women's March, there's a lot of women that have had abortions, and they're marching for the right to abort. And something our team has just kind of kept to is keep the main thing of the hurt, and not so much a label of pro-choice and pro-life, but just like, we're just here giving resources because, you know, we have been hurt by abortion. Does this sound familiar to you? And just seeing them connect the dots on that has been amazing. Because they didn't really connect the dots. So we just are here to offer resources in case you need it. So.
Love that. I love also the idea of remaining curious. Can you tell me more about that? And really like Tanya, like you were saying, understanding her story.
Yep.
I know after my abortion, like in my mind, I felt like I had to be pro-choice. Because I made that choice. Like, who am I to take away your choice? In fact, I heard my daughter said that to me. She says, well, I personally am pro-life, but who am I to say to somebody else? And I get that. And so in terms of helping to equip our newly healed folks, you know, Karen, it's all about equipping people. We have this great little resource. It's a little booklet that Rollin Warren put together, and it's, is the pro-choice position consistent with the life and teachings of Jesus? And I love that, you know, and so I have that, and I give that to people all the time. Like, hey, this is just something for you to think about. You know, that those are great things, great questions that you brought up. And so let's go back to the word of God and see what he has to say about it. And that whole idea of meeting them right where they are.
Yeah.
You know, we've planted seeds, and going back, Mindy, to what you said, you know, we're not walking into this with the goal of her coming out of this being incredibly passionately pro-life. She'll get there by God's grace.
Yeah.
And in his timing.
Do me a favor, Jill, repeat that little booklet, the name of that.
It's called, Is the Pro-Choice Position Consistent with the Life and Teachings of Jesus?
Okay. Thank you.
And I think most of the studies we use, of course, is taking us, our foundation is the word, and going back to what scripture says about life. And that's where we've got to go back to. So I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's an exercise that we do and in my groups, and it used to be in the Forgiven and Set Free book. Well, part of it used to be in the Forgiven and Set Free book, but it's abortion is, and just finishing that statement. And so we put up on a whiteboard on one side, abortion is, and we have the ladies complete that statement. What is abortion? Abortion is this, 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 this. And they start putting answers up there, and I capture their answers and save them, and I add to them. You know, I give them what other people have said. And I've never had one woman say, no, that's not, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. So we get two columns of what abortion is: heinous, murder, cruel, you know, terrible, sad, you know, heartbreaking, family.
We're a woman's right.
all these words. Then the next column we put up God is, and I have them finish that. And they, you know, light, love, power, life, truth, shepherd, you know, a giver of good gifts, you know, all these things, our savior, our creator, and three columns end up happening out of that. And I also add what other women have said. But when we're done, this is not just a preface. This is not an exercise for them to become pro-life. This is an exercise to help them kind of pull back and weed out some of the doubts that they might have about maybe God wanted me to do this, or, that abortion could be a good thing, because all the words under abortion are dark and ugly and negative and hurtful. And all the words under God are good and life-giving and promising and hopeful. And I have them stop and look at those two columns, and I ask them, what do you observe? And that's one thing that they observe, like they're exact opposites, that they're not even the same. And I end up closing that by saying, can any of the words that describe God describe abortion? Can any of the words that describe abortion describe God? And just so that they can kind of really kind of cement that in their minds. And it is, again, it's not the idea to make them pro-choice, but it is the idea to help them see that there's a very clear line between abortion and God. Like, there is no intermingling and okay sometimes. There is no gray area there. And it does help with the healing. But is there any other closing statements or comments you guys want to make on this whole thing? Because this actually, what we're talking about, I think applies to so many things. I mean, they're not going to be, there's a lot of things that they're not going to be when they finish our groups. But I don't know if it's an, I don't know if maybe years ago in healing that, because women waited so long, they usually were sitting in church, they usually had a strong, like, pro-life stance, that when they went through these groups, they got healing, and it was kind of maybe assumed. But nowadays, the women are coming so much quicker, they're not even in church and they're coming. And so we can't make those assumptions and or put that expectation on them.
One of the things that I have found, so I just did a plethora of research that's going to be used in our rewrite and updates of our big Compassion, Hope, and Help manual, which is, how we train volunteers and staff in our centers. And so I got to the privilege of writing about millennials and Gen Z and Gen Alpha. And what all the research showed was, particularly with Gen Z, is that this is a group of young people whose knowledge of the Bible is almost non-existent. I had somebody say to me, when a Gen Z uses the phrase Jesus Christ, it's a swear word. And I thought, oh gosh. So what you were just saying, Mindy, we have to, as people are going through this healing, we have to really, it's incumbent upon us as leaders is making sure that they are tethered to a local church where they can continue to be discipled, because, their knowledge, very generally speaking, broad brush, their knowledge is very minimal. And so, not only are we having to teach them about the character and nature of God, like you were just talking about, but I mean, we have to unpack all so much of the scriptures with them.
Yeah, I think dropping our expectations maybe as helpers when they come in. Linda and I talked about this a little bit in our breakout session about the whole curiosity thing, and about not having answers for them, not having the solution, not having the fix for them, but being curious enough. Because what I think what Serena was saying is that it shows love when we can pause and show curiosity by asking really good questions. So glad you brought that up, Serena. It shows love. It says, I really care about you, and I just want to know about you. I don't have answers for you, but I want to hear about your life and your experiences. And I know Jesus, and I want to introduce you, but tell me what you know already. And it just kind of helps meet you there on even ground, instead of saying, I'm somewhere up here and I want you to come up to me. Well, kind of yes, but not with that air of it, like arrogance and authority, but to bring them up to Jesus, because Jesus does stand on a higher ground. Does that make sense? If I kind of threw that out weird.
One of the things that we talk about in our clinic is advocacy versus activism. And I believe that there are two distinct roles, and people are called at different seasons. And I can definitely see many women over the years coming into care, needing that advocacy. We were advocates, we're helpers, and we're helping them through. And then when God presses on them to become more active in a positive way, sharing her testimony, helping others see that hope and healing is possible, then she becomes a healthy activist. We can take back that word and make it good again, because in the Bible we see where people are activists in good ways to go, like in Jude 22, snatch them from the fire, hating even the clothing on their flesh. But we do that with so much love and compassion. And I've seen, unfortunately, it's been many years ago, where sometimes in abortion care is that last meeting is you almost pushing them into activism. Like, you got your story now, you wrote your testimony, you wrote your letters. Let's go, let's go, let's go. We got a march coming up in a few months. And unfortunately, I've seen that's been a long time. But we need to be careful that they're not where we are. We've all have our testimonies and have had years and years and years of healing and walking other people through. So we can trust God in his timing and what he has for them. They may be a very, I don't want to say silent, but a very quiet helper in their future, and not one of all different personalities that's going to be more bold, and called to do that. So not equating each person that goes through after abortion care is going to rise up to the same place. If that lack of better terminology, but
No, I was going to say too that God doesn't call everybody to be so bold and public with their story. And I will always share with my group, most of the time the Lord is going to call you to share your story with one person. Like you're sitting over coffee. There are not a lot of people that get called to do this on a big platform. It's mostly just one-on-one. And, isn't that pretty much how Jesus does the gospel? One-on-one.
Good point. Good point. Linda, did you have something to add?
No, I really appreciate all this input, and I think it's good for us to think about this ahead of time and just bring them back to, I love Tanya, telling them the truth. Get back to the truth.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to end. The one-on-one gospel. Thank you, Jill.